Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I be blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Back-to-back wins, back-to-back clean sheets. Charlton are back in action, and so far, they're back with a bang. Welcome to Charlton Live. So, good evening, and welcome to Charlton Live. On your Sunday evening, my name is Louis Mendez, and joining me on the phone to look back at yesterday's 1-0 win over QPR at the Valley are, in one, it's the famous Lewis Cat. How you doing, Luke?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Did you enjoy the action yesterday on Valley Pass?
Oh, very much so, mate. It was fantastic. Another big 3 points, so can't complain.
Excellent stuff. Also joining us on the phone this evening, we've got the famous Mark Newbury. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. I've joined the ranks of the unemployed this week, so but 3 points yesterday slightly cheered me up.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your unemployment, but well, I'm glad the addicts have managed to cheer you up. Someone who's perennially unemployed these days, or retired as he prefers to call it, is of course the famous Terry Smith. How are you doing, Tel?
Unemployable, I think is the phrase you were looking for. But yeah, no, I'm good. Sorry to hear Mark's news, by the way.
Yeah. What a way to find out on Charlton Live.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Good to see you, Taryn. How did you enjoy yesterday, of course, over at the Valley?
Well, still weird, and probably weirder compared to the Hull game, because being at the Valley with nobody there, it just felt very strange, as I'm sure everybody felt the same way. But the 3 points are all that matters, and you know, back-to-back wins, you can't argue with that. And if we'd wanted anything out of this when we came back, it had to be that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we've got so far. 2-1-0 wins, which has seen us, I was going to say, pull away from the relegation zone. Haven't really. We're 3 points ahead of it after Huddersfield's heavy defeat at Nottingham Forest today. But yeah, important to get those clean sheets and those 1-0 wins that started us in this little 9-game burst towards the end of the season. We started it off very well. So on this evening's show, of course, we're going to look back at that game. We're going to hear the Valley Pass highlights from yesterday's win over QPR. Also hear Lee Bowyer's post-match press conference when he spoke to myself. And Terry also got the goal scorer, Darren Prattley, spoke to myself. He didn't speak to Terry because Terry can't work Zoom, it turned out, after the game yesterday. I'll get Terry to explain a bit more about that later on. So we'll hear from Pratters as well. We've got some tweets and some emails that have come in throughout the course of the afternoon as well to hear your views on the performance. And then we'll start to gear up, look ahead to Tuesday's trip to Cardiff. Maybe discuss a little bit about who was there yesterday at the Valley, because some interesting faces in the crowd as well. So, Terry, before we dive into the highlights, let's say you were there commentating, luckily not over Zoom. What did you make of the game? Go on.
It was only there. Zoom worked perfectly for me when Lee Bay was in front of me, but for some reason we had to wait an age for Darren Prattley, obviously because he was getting showered up, I understand that. Somewhere between Lee Bay leaving and Darren Prattley arriving, the audio button on the system didn't work for some reason. He could hear me, I couldn't hear him. There we are. Probably didn't want me to ask the burning question about whether he thought he should might have been sent off. So, obviously, I knew. But on the game itself, I thought it's very similar to Hull. I thought, QPR clearly offered more, and they looked more of a threat, generally speaking. And I think Dylan Phillips had a couple of crucial saves to make, but. Similarly, I don't think, apart from that little burst early in the second half where Dylan had to make those saves, I wasn't, again, overly concerned. I thought Hugo up front was almost not, it didn't cause any problems. He was a unit and he was physical, but I didn't think he caused our defence any real problems. Eze, clearly the standout player. But in the first half, he was non-existent. Second half, a little bit better. But I thought the threats that were imposed pretty much all came from us.
Yeah, it certainly felt like that. We certainly felt comfortable again, which was good to see. Mark, obviously you weren't there, so I'm guessing you watched the game on the stream. Another set piece goal, a goal for Darren Prattley again, which has been good to see.
Yeah, no, it's good and well organised and well put away. It squirmed through the keeper, so you'll take it. It's good. They can really deal with the power we had up there. I think pretty much agree with Terry with his assessment of the game. QPR, you can understand why their manager didn't want the season to restart. He was one of the most vocal ones who said he just wanted it to finish, and I think it shows in their attitude in that first half. I think Bowyer's got our lot fired up and it works.
Yeah, certainly has. And Lewis, the 3 points, 6 points we've earned since coming back into action, you'd hope that would have pulled us a little bit further away than it has, but a lot of teams down the bottom are picking up points. But, I mean, as anyone in football will tell you, you can only really concentrate on your own results. So you have to be reasonably pleased with how it's gone since the restart.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, as you say there, it's shown even more now just how vital these two wins have been, especially with the sides around us picking up results. As we said at the start, just before the season resumed, the form kind of goes out the window in all of this. And it seems like the sides that were struggling before the lockdown have come out a little bit refreshed and seem to have a bit of fight about them. So it shows it's how important it's been for us to come out fighting straight away. And we have done. I think we were fantastic yesterday. I thought that... that Darren Prattley was brilliant. I thought Josh Cullen was brilliant. Albie as well. I thought we dominated them in midfield. I was so surprised to see the possession stats pop up on iFollow that we only had 35%, because I just felt like we had the ball for quite large stages. And what we did with the ball as well, I thought our passing was great. Some of our build-up play was really fast-paced and good to watch. It was like watching the Charlton at the start of the season, where the exciting on-the-floor football. We started to sort of come away from that a little bit just before lockdown and started playing a bit more sort of long ball, and it wasn't really working for us. So it's nice to see that we've reverted to the sort of exciting football that Bowyer instilled when he came in. And it really paid off yesterday. I thought that QPR really struggled to deal with what we offered. I thought that Hemed and Maka were brilliant up top again. I thought that Chucks was great when he came on, and that they just couldn't handle us yesterday. And as Mark and Terry have sort of they've said there about QPR, they didn't look up for it, and they haven't got a huge amount to play for now, but they'll be disappointed with the way they performed yesterday. And I'm glad that, I can't imagine we'll be coming up against Eze in the Championship next year, because I thought he was their standout player, but I thought we dealt with him very well, and that highlights how good of a job the guys did yesterday.
Excellent stuff. Right, so let's have a listen then to the highlights of the game from Valley Pass. Your commentators were, as always, Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
11 minutes gone. 11 and a half now. Cullen with a corner. It's a good one. Into the centre. Prattley's over the header. And yes! It's come out! Cheltenham have the lead. 11 and a half minutes gone. Another Cullen corner. Prattley Rose got his header there. Kelly got a touch on it, but he deflected onto the post and in for the opening goal.
Well, they talk about how important set pieces are going to be for the Addicts this season, for the remainder of this season. That's another lovely well-worked corner. It's a great delivery from Cullen and a superb header from Prattley. The corner before, he tried to find Prattley at the far post. This time Prattley made his run inside. It's a good strong header from the centre midfielder. The keeper Kelly got a touch, it hits the post and goes in. And Charlton, after just coming up to 12 minutes, have the lead.
Halfway line.
Hemed trying to control for Charlton. He's done really well to find Bond.
Superb.
Out to the left to Morgan. Lovely ball down the line to Macaulay Bond again. Macaulay Bond on the left-hand side in the penalty area. Bond with the shot. Oh, it's just tipped wide by Kelly. What a bit of play, though, from Charlton. Hemed with the control. Backwards to Morgan. Lovely first-time ball down the line to Bond again. Didn't really have a lot of options. And looked to try and squeeze it towards that near post. And Kelly gets a fingertip. And
it's out a little bit to Prattley, but exchanges passes with Chair.
It's backwards to ball. And there is the half-time whistle. We're here at the Valley. Charlton going to the break with a one-goal lead. Courtesy of Cullen.
It's a challenge from Bond. No free kicks as the referee. Ball in the box is dangerous one. And Hugel's there. It's a save from Dylan Phillips.
Vital save. And can Phillips get to the second ball? He can.
That is awesome. Absolutely superb from Dylan Phillips. It's a great ball in, you've got to say. And you'd have put your house on Hugel Berry in that. But Dylan Phillips right in the right place at the right time and then did superbly well to get to that.
On Barbe, it's a good clearance from the QPR man, but well intercepted by Adam Matthews. He wanted it more there for Charlton and could bring it forward, Matthews. He's on a run here, the Welsh right back, still with Adam Matthews. Corner pound here, Matthews still with it. Ball looking for McCauley, ball just over his head. And QPR deflected away.
So close, what a great break. Matthews is super.
Opportunity for Manning. He'll look to take on McGeady. Skips past him momentarily. McGeady trying to get the ball, but QPR still have it with Manning. Inside the penalty area, shoots and wide.
Yeah, dear, dear.
Was it Chair in the end? It might have been. No, I think it was Manning, the left back.
That sort of went in slow motion, that little passage of
pass. Goes back to Lockyer. He's under pressure from Hugel. Decides to go forward. Surprisingly, go back there. Tom Lockyer is a good ball forward to McGeady. McGeady can pick it up for Charlton. He's got Hemed behind him. McGeady, chip ball in towards Macaulay. Bond free and
offside. Oh, he's offside.
I think he might have been as well.
I think he was offside from the first phase, though, not the second. And that's going to be worth looking at. He certainly was offside when the ball went through to McGeady.
Don't have the benefits of...
Whether he was offside when McGeady's cross came in, I'm not so sure.
Quickly
taken corner into Doherty's feet. Doherty, edge of the penalty area. Chip ball back across. Header comes in from Lockyer. Just wondered if he could reach it. And he did, but he couldn't get the right angle on it. And it's cleared away. Thought about crossing it. Changes his mind. Gives it back to Doherty. Will he take Kane on? On the left-hand side. Cuts inside instead. Runs out of run, but he's still on the ball. Right to tackle. Still on it, Doherty. Gets his shot away. Oh, underneath the keeper, who just got his midriff on it, and it's squeezed past the right-hand post for a corner.
Yeah, great tenacious work from Doherty. He's caught in a cul-de-sac. Didn't really have any options, and he just bundled his way through. Got into that left foot, and it's actually a good save from Kelly again, diving down, because that came through a couple of bodies. A
loose pass forward has found Doherty, who sends the ball now down the line to Anike. Will he aim for goal? Anike, no, he's going straight for the corner flag with only 30 seconds of time remaining. Right by the corner flag. Barbie trying to get a toe in, he does, but Anike's still on it. Turns it back round in towards the corner flag. Now towards the touchline. Oh, he's still on it, Chucks Anike. That is superb.
Brilliant.
And he wins the corner.
Brilliant.
Outstanding work from Chuck Sadiq.
You can just see Johnny Jackson on the touchline just screaming at Anike, saying, get to the corner flag. Don't worry about trying to go for it. And he's done superbly well with those long, dangly legs to keep the ball in play.
Well, I make it now. We've got time up. And there is the final whistle. Charlton, a second 1-0 victory on the trot.
There we go then, the highlights from yesterday's game, Tell. Yeah, not bad. I mean, let's go straight for the goal then. The second goal we scored from a set piece since the restart, the second one that's come from a corner. And we saw sort of earlier on Josh Cullen floated a corner towards the far post where Darren Prattley was lurking. It went just over his head. And so clearly something they worked on, because when they got it right, Prattley was there to attack the ball and make sure it squirmed into the bottom corner.
Yeah, actually, generally, one of the questions I was going to ask Darren Prattley, and this again could have been wired, they wouldn't let me on, is, Josh Cullen last week against Hull floated two absolute mare of corners in before then picking Jason Pearce out, or Hemed out, sorry, at the near post, and then Jason Pearce at the far for the flick on. And similarly, yesterday, he stuck one just before the goal to the far side of the 6 yard box, well over everybody, and Darren Pelletier was there or thereabouts. Is it a case of lulling the opposition into a false sense of security? So he puts a couple of absolute stinkers in, and then puts one right on the money. Which is pretty much what he did yesterday. The first one was nowhere near there, and the second one just picked him out. And the keeper, to be fair, got his into it, but it would have been a travesty if that hadn't have gone in. Unfortunately, in off the post was good enough. And I thought, funnily enough, I think Lewis mentioned the stat, the possession stat. And on the face of it, it looks strange. We've only got 35%. And bearing in mind, we had like 12 shots to their 6, I think, and 10 corners to their 1. But their possession mostly, I think, came in their own third of the pitch in front of the penalty area, because we were pinning them back, especially in that first half. I don't think they very rarely got out of it because we were pressing them so high. Yes, they had the ball, but they were doing nothing with it. And as soon as they approached our half, just gave it back to us. It was a perfect Bowyer tactical match that we saw in the beginning of the season, and now we've had that rest, maybe we're seeing it again.
Yeah, and particularly in that first half, we were clearly the better side. I mean, it was notable, Mark, in the first drinks break. I don't know if they would have shown it on the stream, but we could see all the QPR players were getting a right telling off from Mark Warburton, because I don't think Charlton really let them settle in that first period.
No, we didn't, which is, obviously, it's credit to us. And to be honest, I've not been a fan of Warburton. I know he's a couple of times when there's been a vacancy with us, his name's popped up, and you hope he doesn't come here. But again, I'd like to say, I think they were pretty much thinking it wasn't going to go ahead for league, and so they're behind on everything. I think, you know, we've sent our players out and told them to look, get fit, because we're probably going to play, and they were hoping they weren't going to. And I'm not surprised it gave them a rocket. Like I say, first half, I just think we were too good for them. I thought Lockyer, you know, particularly anything which came up there, he loves that kind of battle. You know, he gets his head on it, gets a face on it, gets a boot on it, anything. And for me, out the back four, I mean, they all did well, but Lockyer was really outstanding for me yesterday.
Yeah, he certainly dealt very well with the likes of Jordan Hugill, who are up there, Lewis. I mean, like we were saying, in that first half, we felt comfortable. I thought Albie Morgan again, you can see him trying to sort of spray a few passes, getting his range. There was a couple that went awry. But, I mean, the ball he played through from Macaulay Bond sort of 10 minutes before half-time, where Macca got a shot away. I mean, it just shows that the quality we've got in midfield there and an ability, hopefully, to try and thread a ball through almost out of nothing.
Yeah, it was brilliant football. And again, as you say there, Albie just impressed me massively yesterday. He's come on so much. I know Bo mentioned about, you know, how he's come back a completely different machine, you know, after the lockdown break. But he really has, hasn't he? He's come back, like, he just determined. He's got this sort of a bit more of an edge about him, a competitive edge. And he was chasing down every single ball yesterday. He was doing the defensive work he could. Yes, he may have been out-muscled a couple of times on the ball. He's still a young player that's building up. But I thought he played really, really well yesterday. And he's doing himself bundles of favours. You know, he's taken the criticism that has been passed his way previously regarding his defensive game and some of the aspects of the game he still needs to learn. And he's gone away and he's worked hard. And it's showing now. And he can be really proud of himself. And Charlton fans have been singing his praises from both performances, from the whole game and yesterday. And it's so good to see, because I've always seen something special in Albie Morgan ever since he sort of came onto the scene last season in League One. And I'm glad to see him now sort of getting the plaudits and getting a chance in the Championship, because he deserves it. And I was really impressed with him yesterday. And he was fantastic. So good on Albie.
Yeah, and I mean, so obviously we'd had a good first half there, Terry. Start of the second half, we've had this knack, haven't we, over the course of the season, of seemed to start quite slowly after the restart. And sure enough, once again, I mean, Dylan Phillips called into action a deep crossover towards the far post. Hugill got the wrong side of the defender and volleyed towards Guy. He really should have done better, Jordan Hugill, but Dylan Phillips stood up and made the save. And that was probably QPR's best chance for me.
Yeah, you're right. I think there were two saves for me. One, as it turned out, was offside, but he didn't know it shortly before that. And I say Hugo was pretty much
invisible for most of the game, but as you rightly said, he peeled away just to begin it at second half and hit that shot. Probably should have done better. Maybe Amy either side would have tested Dylan a lot more. You're right, but Dylan still had to be there. And I was more impressed with the fact that after the save, he reacted so quickly to make sure he got to that second ball before anybody else did. And that was, for me, more important than probably the save itself, because it stopped QPR maybe capitalising on a rebound that they could have done otherwise. So, but we weathered that. I think, I can't remember who said it before, maybe Lewis, it was Lewis or Mark, but, you know, QPR didn't seem, especially in that first half, that they wanted to be there. And we made the most of that. Same with Hull the week before. They were clearly short of confidence, and we capitalised on that.
Yeah.
Again, we could have scored a couple more. I think, again, if Lebo has been ultra-critical, then only scoring one is probably still is something he wants to correct. But I saw signs, you know, that Hemed, I don't know if it's his injury, because he clearly took a knock at the end of the first half, whether or not that's going to affect him going forward. But he looked sharper. And Macaulay Bon, again, there was a lovely turn in that first half where he left his man absolutely on his backside. And gorgeous turn. Just shows that he's getting that sharpness back. And, I reckon by Millwall, he's going to get on the score sheet.
Well, obviously, it won't be against Millwall because that's not how things work for us.
You say that. Remember where you heard it first.
Yeah, right. It would be an own goal or something. As Tel said, Mark, the only criticism, I guess, is, again, that we didn't really take more chances. We did have one from Bond that the flag went up against him. Obviously, I haven't seen a replay, but it did look pretty clear-cut on first viewing that he was offside. Is that the only sort of downside that you can take from yesterday? Is that of the few chances we created in the second half, we didn't really put one in the back of the net?
I'd probably be more concerned if we weren't actually creating any chances at all. I mean, Bond's had a really good shot saved. You know, Doherty's had one saved in the second half. Hemed, he had a chance to pull the trigger, and it looked like he slipped in the first half when Bond played him in. So, I'd be more concerned if we weren't actually creating the chances. I thought McGeady was looking sharp down the outside. So I'm less concerned about that. I'd like to say, I think it will come good. And you've got to be fair to miss them. But I thought even Chuck, I think he had a couple of chances. And if you're not making the chances, then you worry. But we are making the chances. And at the moment, we're that tight at the back. 1-0 is actually good enough. I think the Cardiff game is going to be a slightly harder one for us out of the first three, because they look like they're in quite good nick and Harris will have them organised. So, but I'd like to say, I'm not particularly concerned about the missing. I'd be more concerned if we actually weren't making chances at all.
Excellent stuff. Obviously, the one of the differences since we've come back, Lewis, is the fact that we can make more subs. And I did think we saw some clear signs of players tiring yesterday. In particular, the one that really stood out was poor old Deji. You know, he's working away on that left hand side outside of his normal position. But there was this one situation where he found himself almost on the edge of the QPR area as Charlton countered it, and the ball came into him. He made a bad decision. He didn't really attack the ball, and all of a sudden QPR on a break, and you can see him desperately trying to get back. And we were lucky that the flag ended up going up against Hugo as he was played through. But I mean, there was a sign of a player tiring, because Deji was really struggling to catch up there, and unsurprisingly was hooked almost immediately after that.
Yeah, and I do think Deji can sort of hold his head up higher the past couple of weeks, playing out of position. You know, he started a little bit shaky at Hull, but grew into the game. And I thought yesterday he handled Brightside Samuel very well in that first half. There were a few times where he maybe slightly got the better of him, because he's very quick with his feet, Asaya Samuel. So to be out of his position, playing on his weaker side, and not really get bothered too much, I think he played very well. But yes, he didn't play a huge amount of football before the lockdown anyway, because you have Ben Perrington on that side and Alfie Doughty as well, and then you've had Matthews, you know, the former Matthews, keeping the right back berth there as well. We've only really seen Deji come into a back five when required, or there was a time we played like a defensive mid role. But that's the good thing about someone like Deji Oshalaja, is that he's sort of, whenever he's asked to play, wherever that position, he will always go there and give his all. And that, yes, there are going to be times where he's going to get caught out, but he's still there giving it his all, and that's all we can ask. And I thought he played pretty well again yesterday. I can't imagine he'll start on Tuesday. It's quite a quick turnaround, isn't it? So I wouldn't be surprised to see Ben or Alfie start. But I think Deji has played very well on that left hand side in the two games, and he's done what's asked of him, and it shows, doesn't it? You know, that the sharpness is building, as Terry and Mark mentioned there, and we're looking like a good side. Again, we look great in possession, we look confident, we, like you say, maybe our only Achilles heel is that we're not putting away all these chances that we create, because there are games where we find ourselves holding on to a 1-0 and that isn't enough. You know, you're always worried that they're going to get back into the game. Having that two goal cushion has always been our problem, and even harder now that we're creating all these chances and not quite sticking them away, but it will come with sharpness. And you know, Macaulay Bond looked more dangerous yesterday than he did against Hull. That's coming with the match practice, and Chucks and EK, when he came on yesterday, I thought he brought a whole different element to that Charlton side, and QPR really struggled to deal with him, even when he was on his own on top at the end. So I think that we've got so many options now, and as you say, having this five sub rule that's coming as well, it gives us an opportunity to freshen things up over those three periods that you can make the changes, and it's a positive for us, especially with our injury record and what's been asked of the players after such a long time off in such competitive football. And I think, you know, I think that we've, so far, I think that we're looking a really good little outfit, and it's come at the perfect time because, as I mentioned earlier, you know, all the sides around us are starting to pick up a few results too. So it's important that we've got that advantage now from the weekend before against Hull. It's important we try and keep that gap there, and just, we can only control our own results. We just got to keep trying to win games.
Yeah, and win the game, obviously, Terry, we did. It's the second week in a row that we've had to deal with 5 minutes of added time at the end of the second half. But again, maybe slightly more than last week, but I still don't feel we were under too much pressure in that time, and we dealt reasonably comfortably with everything that QPR tried to throw at us in those closing stages.
No, I agree. And I said it earlier, I didn't really feel overly threatened. There was a couple of scary moments we've already mentioned, but even before the 5 minutes of injury time, and I think actually in that injury time, Chuck Sneke came into his own. He did that, holding the ball in that corner, superbly well. There was one particular point there. I mean, QBR players were bouncing off him, trying to get the ball back. He did that superbly, and he looked a threat when he came on. Even for the whole game, if he'd have managed it, I think he would have probably worried the QBR defence a bit more than perhaps Bon and Hemed did because of his presence. Whether or not he could last that long is another issue. But yeah, you're right. I think we, you know, for the second game running, we managed the game superbly, both at the start of the game and the way we play our football, and the way we press the opposition, to the way we used our subs, which I think on both weeks it was excellent. I thought yesterday with McGeady and Deji tiring, as the guys have already said, then, you know, he can bring on the likes of Purrington to cover, Doherty and Green, to allow us to use those wide players to get back and help the defence as and when they're needed. Mm. I mean, the one thing that did strike me yesterday is that as soon as Andre Green came on, there was that almost immediately QBR attack down the right-hand side, and he wasn't there. And Lee Bowyer let him know that's exactly where he should have been. And he didn't do it again. He made sure he was there after that. So, you know, we got the players that can do that. Not saying that necessarily we'll get the easy ride, perhaps, that we've had in the first two games, but confidence is great. It's a great thing, and taking that forward into what will be a tough game against Cardiff is crucial.
Yeah, I guess it might have been just a tiny bit of rustiness for Andre Green, obviously having not been involved last weekend. I mean, we should, Mark, have a special mention for Adam Matthews again. I thought, once again, looks very good down that right-hand side, in particular that run in the second half, where he seemed to pick up the ball in his own half and ran almost half the length of the field to the byline, put a crossover that just went over the head of Macaulay Bond. I mean, he's been superb really since he started to get a run of games in the side, you know, before and after lockdown, Adam Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, it's a joy to see. I mean, it's funny because you know that opposition teams are going to try and target him with their whippets, and you know QPR have got some fast guys, and he holds his own, and he's got speed and he's got the skill, and you know he can tackle, and he looks calm. And I've said this before on other shows, but one thing which I enjoy about having him there is the sense of calmness he almost brings to the role. And you're thinking, they're coming down that side, and you're thinking, you know what, he's okay with it, I'm okay with it, I'm not going to start gnawing my fingernails. You know, we've had previous fullbacks on both sides where you worry every time, you know, the opposition get the ball. But with him, I mean, I think he's really... I mean, like I said, we talked about it when we did our home pods and saying, like, players of the season, and he got such a good mention then. And he's obviously, you know, he's a proper pro, knows how to keep himself fit. And, you know, you just hope that he stays injury-free, because we don't really have a bundle of cover on that side. So I know Deji can play there and Wadu, but, you know, you're thinking, hopefully, you know, if he doesn't get any knocks, he's a solid... Yeah, he's a solid name on the sheet.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a listen then to what Lee Bowyer made of yesterday's win. Don't forget, later on in the show, we'll hear from Darren Prattley as well. We'll also read out some of your tweets and emails. Get ready to look ahead to Cardiff. We'll pay tribute to Theo Foley as well, and I'm sure Terry will have some kind words to say about Theo later on in the show. Sadly, passed away this week. But let's have a listen to what Lee Bowyer said after yesterday's win. He caught up with myself and Tel over Zoom again. So once again, it's not the greatest quality audio, but that's the world we live in, unfortunately, at the moment. Obviously, we're not allowed to get too close to Lee Bowyer. But we asked him after the game what he made of yesterday's win over QPR.
I think it was very similar to last weekend. A very solid performance. We limited them to chances. I think they had one good chance, clear-cut chance in the 90 minutes, and Dylan made a good save. But apart from that, I think it was a good, solid performance. And I think overall, on chances created, again, I would say that we created the better chances and deserved to win the game. Yeah, they had a lot more possession than us. Again, if I'm going to be critical... In possession, we wasn't as good as what we normally are. We turned over the ball a bit too easy. And we didn't take our chances again.
It's incredible to think about a month ago that you were worried that Charlton might be relegated on a points per game basis. And now you're sitting 4 points clear of the drop zone as it stands.
Yeah, and that's why I was not very happy with the way they was trying to do it. You know, it wouldn't have been right. It wouldn't have been fair. I knew with 9 games to go, there's a lot of football left. Even with seven games to go, like we're not out of it yet. We have to focus and keep fighting for every point, because this league can hurt you. So yeah, we've had a good start. We're in a good position, but we have to keep fighting to the end, because the most important thing for me is that we stay in the division. And what they was trying to do before was points per game thing was ridiculous. So. I think we're proving that as it stands today, but still a long way to go.
We spoke last week about how important it was that you can get a good bit of momentum built up at the start of this 9-game burst towards the end of it. So obviously the two results back to back would sort of set you in good stead for the rest of the campaign now. I guess the confidence within the dressing room must be very good now.
Yeah, but it was good. Like, even when we came back, you know, it was good, because we all know where we stand. We know what we have to do to stay in the division. So the team spirit has always been high. But now, like obviously last week's result helped. This one will give them another lift, and it's my job to keep their feet on the ground and let them know, like, look, we ain't safe yet. We have to keep pushing and keep fighting for every point, because every point is definitely valuable in this league. You never know what's going to happen.
And another goal from a set piece, this time from Darren Prattley, has been so dependable for you in his time here at the Valley. Jason Pearce was telling us last week that Jacko had pointed out how important set pieces can be since the restart. Was that something you've been working on a lot? I mean, Charlton have actually scored a fair few goals from set pieces this season, but it's something you've sort of targeted during the time off.
Yeah, Jacko works hard on set pieces, you know. Obviously, we look at other teams and how they set up. I had a conversation with Jacko the other evening and said, look, Jacko, there's something you could work on here, work on there. And Jacko had a look and I said, look, these are 3 things, different ways that we can hurt. You fiddle around with it, and whatever you think's best, and you go with that. And Jacko's worked on him hard yesterday, and it's paid off again. So yeah, it's good. Set pieces are very big in the game. So yeah, we work hard at them. Jacko more so. So yeah, I don't care how we get the 3 points as long as we get them.
Nice, of course, to be back at the Valley as well. Obviously, one clear difference from last week was the fact that Charlton were playing crowd noise today. I mean, is that something that you decided, something you wanted? I know you mentioned last week about the, if you wanted to shout some instructions on, it's possible the manager next door would hear you. Is that part of that?
Yeah, that was part of it. Plus, I think our fans, the songs, like it definitely gets our players going at home. It helped, so yeah, I wanted to have that, but it was important. Obviously, I don't want the other bench hearing what instructions we're trying to put out as well. So it's trying to find that fine balance. But I think the players, I don't think they wanted it too loud, so then they can't hear each other shouting to each other, you know. So, yeah, it's something that we tampered with, but yeah, I wanted to. To have the music from the fans, because I think they, even though they're not here, they can still play a part and help.
Obviously, it's quite a quick turnaround to Tuesday now. You kept the same starting 11 from last week. Did you think with this shorter time between the games, you're going to think to start to try and utilise a bit more of your squad?
It's difficult when you win two games back to back to then make changes, but I know the physicality, what the players have just put in there, it's hard, you know, it's hard, and I have to be careful. I have to look at the bigger picture, and squad wise, I have to look after people. People are going to be tired tomorrow, Monday. They'll be even probably more tired Monday than they will tomorrow. So I have to look after them the best I can. And then I'll see what's best for Tuesday come Tuesday.
Right, and just finally for me, obviously we saw the new deals for Albion for Josh yesterday, which I'm sure a lot of the Charlton fans are pleased with. Are you in a position to start offering any other players deals at the moment? Are you negotiating with other players? Obviously, there's a lot still undecided in terms of what division Charlton will be in next season, and obviously the ownership situation as well, but are you in a position to start to talk to the likes of Johnny Williams, who's obviously coming to an end of a contract now?
Yeah, we're trying to speak to players, but as you know, it's been difficult financially, and I think most clubs up and down the country will be in the same position, because our club has been stretched. And so will a lot of others. So I think doing the two young lads is good business for the club. But the most important thing, I'm not even thinking about signing players and players coming and going. I'm just thinking 3 points match day. That's all I think. Now my focus, this game's done. Yes, I'm happy. But my focus now will be on Cardiff from the minute I get home. So I won't be thinking about players. No, that's not the priority for me at the moment. So,
hi, Lee. Congratulations, of course, on today. And although Louis asked most of the questions, one thing you must be really happy with is another clean sheet. I mean, in games which, although they might have been less tight, I mean, if we'd have converted chances, they have been tight. So keeping the clean sheet is obviously imperative.
Yeah, that's a good foundation to work from. Like I said last week, we worked really hard. We had 2 weeks of contact training before the first game to work hard on a new shape. The players have worked really hard at it, you know, and that's a staff app as well. But it's okay doing it on a training pitch. It's whether you're prepared to put in the hard work on the pitch. And again, today you see how hard everybody worked. So yeah, it's nice to see. Nice to see that we've had to change things, and as it stands today, the last two games it's working, you know. So clean sheets are something to build on, and you've always got a chance. If you keep a clean sheet, you're leaving with at least a point, and And there's always going to be a chance, because we do create chances, that, that you've got more chance of getting free.
And again, the five subs that, that you used today all came on and played their part and did a bit. Chuck's keeping the ball up and doing what he does really well. But even Alfie Doty on this left-hand side, and then on the right causing them problems. Again, with Hull, you must be delighted the impact the five subs make.
Yeah, Ben Purton come off the bench. Again, solid defensively, playing against good wingers. You know, top wingers they're playing against today. But Chuck's very good. Should have scored. I'm going to be ultra critical. Should score. He's gone through 1v1 with the keeper. But he makes things out of nothing, you know, at times. And he's just something a bit different to the other strikers that we've got. And he's a handful. Like, he's a handful. And Alfie, great. His pace gets him into positions that probably surprises himself at times. And he's working hard on his final ball. And today he put some great balls in. So, again, another young lad that's come through the ranks, just improving, which is good for the club.
And finally for me, talk about this, the back four, but the centre-half pairing of Tom and Jace really seems to have clicked since they've come back. You try and have a quiet word with Jason's wife just to make sure the timing of the verse fits well with the fixtures.
Unfortunately, I'm not. That's out of my control. But yeah, they're playing well together. Two good, solid men, you know, that put their body on the line, and you need that as a centre half. And so yeah, hopefully it won't be when we're away at Cardiff, and hopefully we don't miss him for a game, because he's definitely standing up as a captain and being a leader, and we definitely need that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's
it!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo!
Dreamland!
Jones has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too.
Get in! Come on!
What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. We just heard there from the Addicts boss Lee Bowyer after yesterday's fine 1-0 win over Queen's Park Rangers. Unsurprisingly, Lewis, he's happy again. He said he felt like it was a reasonably similar performance to last week. Is notable. It was always going to be a question mark over how different teams are going to come back from the lockdown period, because, you know, we said that form will go out of the window for many teams. Injuries have cleared up, and that's certainly the case with us. But you know, when you've had so long away from your players, and then you only got this 2-3 weeks to turn them around, you know, you really have to be on top of your motivation as well as your tactical stuff. And Lee's clearly he's hit the ground running in terms of getting his side coming back and playing after the restart.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, we've mentioned before about going back to the Lyle Taylor thing. You know, he wanted to find out early doors when the football was resuming what players were going to stay and fight. And I thought that was a very important move, that we sort of not weeded out problems, but knew the squad that we had going into this fight, and that we could work with what we were going to have available to us. We've done that. We've obviously worked hard on the training ground, and as we've said many a time, there is no better motivator, in my opinion, managerial-wise, in the division than Lee Bowyer. He demands 100% week in, week out, and we as supporters can very rarely say that our players don't give 100% week in, week out. There are so many times we walk out of the valley or on a away day where we've given 100%, we might have lost by the odd, you know, by one goal or whatever, but we always come out thinking the boys played really well a lot of the time. I think it's very rare that we can't say that. So that's been key coming into this, because it is, you know, it's 9 games to determine the season. I think Nate mentioned it on Thursday that the period we're in now is almost like that sort of honeymoon stage you get at the start of the season where someone like us might be top of the league or something, and we're thinking, oh, blimey, and you start getting maybe false hope. And it's, you know, and then the season starts to sort of settle down and you see where you are at Christmas. This is that kind of form, but there's only 9 games. So anything can happen, really. And we had to make sure, coming back off this break, that we were ready for that and that we came back hitting the ground running. The whole game was a huge start because of where they are in the division and around us. It was important to bridge that gap, which we did. And then the QPR game, we had to make the most of their stance on the return of the season, the fact they didn't really want it, and also the fact that they haven't got a huge amount to play for. So their motivation will not be the same as us, because we know that we're sort of fighting for our lives now to stay in this division. And that's probably played in our favour. But you can see that with the other clubs as well. So it's important that we keep that going. We keep pushing and we keep fighting in every single game. There are going to be some tough games around the corner. There's going to be plenty of twists and turns between now and the 22nd of July when we play Leeds. But we're going to have to, you know, keep focused and give our all every week. And I truly believe that the squad yesterday and Saturday as well both showed huge examples of fight, grit, determination and a real drive to keep this team in the division. And I don't think as supporters we can ask for much more than that.
Excellent stuff. Now, as we heard there from Lee Bowyer, obviously, Terry, yesterday was our first home game under the new regulations, the behind closed door regulations. I was saying to Bo, one noticeable difference from last week, of course, is the fact that he asked for the crowd noise to be pumped in. You were there. What did you make of it? Because I'm fairly confident that about 30 seconds after we scored, someone finally pressed the button that said goal, because I heard some louder cheering a solid 30 seconds after we scored. Did I imagine that, or did you hear that as well?
I didn't pick on that. It doesn't surprise me in the least, to be honest. It's always likely when you've got piped in noise and you're relying on somebody to press a button to do a celebration or a goal celebration, that especially if they're a fan, you get so wrapped up in watching and what you're doing that I've got to press a button now. So I didn't mind it in the end. It didn't bother me. I mean, we couldn't, obviously with the earphones in and the mic, you don't tend to pick up too much. And it's no replacement, obviously, for a live crowd. But I'm not so sure with Lee whether or not that pipe noise, because it wasn't that loud. I still think the opposition bench would have been able to hear what he was saying, regardless of that noise. But what it might have done is might have helped the players just feel less, less of an eerie atmosphere at home. Because, you know, I'd spoken to him before, and most people have said, no, it shouldn't have anything to do with it. But, you know, when you consider in the first round of matches, only two home sides won in the first round of league championship fixtures. And that's reciprocated in the Premier League, I think, and certainly in the Bundesliga by all accounts. So I'm wondering if it was just a way of perhaps negating that potential for the home side to freeze a little bit, because they're not playing in an atmosphere they're used to.
Yeah, and obviously the other strange thing that happened yesterday, Mark, was the fact that Charlton, that you would have noticed on the stream, when it was time to come out of the tunnel, they didn't come out of the tunnel, they came down the steps in the West Stand. I mean, their dressing room was in the Millennium Lounge, though I did have a think after, like, where did they shower? Because there's no showers there, so I don't know if they were told they had to shower when they got home. But all these new protocols that you have to deal with, I mean, it could potentially be slightly unsettling, I guess, but it seems that the players were reasonably comfortable in their surroundings yesterday.
Yeah, true. I mean, to be honest, I'd have preferred it if your away team came down those steps, because it's quite steep in the West Stand. You're coming down in studs. You know, the last thing you want is sort of like Naby coming down and taking everyone with him. No, it was unusual, and, you know, I didn't really wonder about their showering habits, but It was an interesting thing to see, and so the atmosphere over the stream sounded good, shall I say. I mean, obviously you're missing, there's sort of like the reaction to a certain tackle, you know, a certain Pratley tackle, I think would have done a collective ooh from the crowd. But I thought it was handled well. What made me smile was the fact we had the stadium announcer, Brian, was there. And I thought, well, that was quite good. So, you know, that made it a bit more normal, shall we say.
Yeah, it was nice to see Brian there. The only difference for Brian was he had to sit up with us in the press zone, which was a bit unusual. So let's have a look at that league table then, Lewis. So yesterday's victory, it was sort of soured by the fact that about half an hour later, while we were interviewing Darren Pratley, it flashed up that Hull City had gone 2-0 up away at Birmingham, obviously pegged back to 3-3 by the end of it. But Huddersfield beaten today, 3-1 in the end, and they never should have got that one because it's a very dodgy penalty right at the end away at Forest. So we sit 3 points above Huddersfield, who are currently in 22nd at the top of the relegation zone. You know, Hull, Stoke and Middlesbrough all below us. Hull still on 42 points. Stoke on 43 after getting beaten at home by Middlesbrough yesterday on 44, who of course have brought in Neil Warnock, who no matter what you think about him, tends to be quite successful. So, you know, we're all flying after picking up a couple of results, but we're seeing those teams around us doing the same. No one, even as we were saying last week, we expect Hull to sort of fall away now. They didn't look like they're up for it, but they've made us look very silly almost immediately with a strong performance away at Birmingham. So, I mean, no one's going to lay down and die in this battle. Even Luton picked up a win at Swansea, and Barnsley got a point at home against Millwall yesterday. So it's still all to play for. You can't get carried away off the back of 2-1-0 wins.
No, definitely not. We've got to keep our wits about us because, as you say, everyone around us really in the table has done the same thing. And it's like I mentioned with the form. Most of those sides are struggling before the lockdown, but coming back it's a completely different story because there are so many teams sort of in the middle of the table that you'll come up against that probably don't have a huge amount to play for, so their motivation isn't there. There'll be people that are pushing for playoff spots that will be a tough game, you know, Cardiff for example, and we've just got to make sure that we try and win the games in front of us because it is going to be tough. The sides down there, I mean, you look at some of the sort of the size of those teams, Middlesbrough, Stoke, Hull, Huddersfield have all been in the Premier League in recent years. They're all down there. You know, Luton and Barnsley come up with us. They're both down there a little bit further adrift, but Luton got a result yesterday. They've had Nathan Jones back in, so there might be a slight new manager bounce there. As you mentioned, Neil Warnock is very good at getting sides out of trouble. But we can only control what we do, you know, and we've just got to make sure that we're keep getting the results we can to keep us ahead. It's at the point now where you look for any kind of disadvantage for the people below you. Like Huddersfield today, I was ecstatic that Juninho Bakuna got sent off because I'm thinking, well, it's a straight red. They're missing him for three games. He was a bit of a handful against us, so that'll weaken them. You're looking around to see how other people can be weakened in this period. And we, like I say, you have to try and not rely on what other people do because all we can do is control what we do, and that's by turning up and giving our all each week and trying to win as many games as possible.
Excellent stuff. Well, let's have a look at some of the emails that have come in for now. We'll have some tweets that we'll save for later on in the show after we hear from Darren Pratley. But Steve McLennan emailed in earlier on this afternoon. I thought we were excellent yesterday. However, we do need to convert some more of our chances. We don't have much possession, but we are now looking structured and determined in our defence. And when we get the ball, our attacking play is slick and incisive. We just need to score more than one per game to give us some relief. Performance-wise, Cullen was excellent, as I've come to expect. But Morgan was also superb. Man of the match was Matthews. Eze rarely troubled him, and his surges forward were a real strength. Give this man a new contract ASAP. And what a cameo that was from Chucks. Surely he starts over Hemed on Tuesday. Confidence and momentum increased. I'd happily take a 0-0 with Cardiff. Tough games coming up, so let's get through the next three with confidence intact, ready for the more winnable games against Wigan, Reading and Birmingham. That's from Steve McLennan. Oh, interesting point there, Tell. Do you think Chucks has got a chance of starting ahead of Tomer Hemed on Tuesday evening? I did ask Bo, as we heard in the interview there, about whether it's time to start chopping and changing. He said, well, it is hard to do that when you've won two games in a row.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with him. It is a decision he's got to make. I think the decision might be made for him because it did look like Tommy Hemmer was struggling a little bit with the knock that he took in that first half. And so it was quite quickly into that second half when he got taken off. So the decision might be made for him. But I think they're probably still worried a little bit about Chucks' fitness going through a whole 90 minutes. I think he was worth a shout, no problem at all. You can start him and then, if necessary, bring him off. But and then if Hemed's just struggling a little bit, just try and use him for the last 20 minutes or so. But I don't think I think he's shown certainly in yesterday that and to a lesser extent in the whole game that he's quite capable of coming in and doing a job. Different players though, so you know whether or not it's all about partnerships, whether or not. Macaulay Bong can work in a partnership with Chucks is another question, but we'll only find out when it happens, of course.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, Colin Riggs emailed in. Let's hope that Steve Gallen can work some more magic and persuade Adam Matthews to stay at Charlton for another year. He was brilliant again yesterday and is giving old father time, defying Prattley, real competition for Player of the Season award. Of course, the real class comes from Cullen. Why is it that West Ham can't see what a player he is? Anything at Cardiff would be a bonus, but hasn't Bowyer given us a real chance of staying up now? Lyle who? That's from Tring Addict Colin. Thanks for your email. Right, let's have a listen to Old Father Time then, as Colin called him. Darren Prattley joined us over Zoom yesterday. Not Terry, because our very own Old Father Time can't work technology, unfortunately. But he joined me after the game on Zoom. And this is what Darren made of the 1-0 victory over QPR.
Yeah, obviously delighted to get the 3 points. Another clean sheet for the boys. Dill made a brilliant save again at the end. It's another 3 points in the bank that can get us out of this relegation battle.
What did you make of the performance overall? I mean, Lee said he felt it was a similar game to last week. You know, we defended well. Was that how you saw it?
Yeah, I thought we defended well. We've changed our shape a little bit, played a 4-4-2. And I think the two boys up front have been brilliant for us. And obviously the subs coming on as well have made a massive difference. Everyone's fit at the moment. Everyone's hungry, wanting to play the game. So everyone's come back with the grit between the teeth. So, yeah, it was another dogged performance where we managed to win with a set piece. But to be honest, I'm not really bothered about how well we play. There's no point playing well and then you don't get the points. I think the main thing is the points. So, however well we play, I think points is the main thing, and we stay in the league.
And also, you were the one who popped up with the winning goal. I thought it was reasonably similar to the one you scored against Hull, and you sort of floated in towards the far side of the penalty area. Is that something you'd sort of been working on? Because I think the first corner from Josh Cullen seems to be going over that way as well, and just over your head. So it looked like something you had planned.
Yeah, we worked on it all week, to be fair. We know in a lot of the games, set pieces have been the ones that have the goals that have won the game. So we knew that was a big factor for us to go and get the point. So we looked at QPR this week and we worked out how they defend. And obviously you've got to get the delivery right and the runs right. And we managed to do that. It was a good ball by Cullen. And I managed to get on the end of it. I think if I didn't get on it, maybe Tom Lockyer would have. So fair play to Johnny Jackson and Marshall. We do the set pieces and we've got two clean sheets and two goals from it.
QPR certainly came out in the second half to look to put us under a lot of pressure and enjoyed some possession in that second period. But again, I think, I mean, Lee said we only really had that one clear-cut chance right at the start of the second half. Do you feel as a defensive unit, and obviously you guys in the midfield would be helping out, that you stood up to them well today?
Yeah, like I said, I think it starts from the front with Macca and Toma. They set the tone for us. They've done so well. They worked so hard for us. But QPR are going to have chances. They're a good team. They've got good players that can hurt you. Eze and a few of the other boys, quick. And like I said, can hurt you. So they're going to have a few chances. And then luckily, like I said earlier on Sky, I think we've probably got, in my opinion, the best goalkeeper in the Championship. So he come in there, he had nothing all game, and then he comes and makes a save like that. So credit to Dylan to keep focus and keep the ball at the net and get us the points.
Obviously, important to keep our feet on the ground despite the fact we got the two back-to-back wins here. I mean, we were all just bemoaning just before you came on that at time of recording, Hull was just on 2-0 up at Birmingham. It shows that there's not going to be a single team in this fight that's going to give up easily, and it's almost certainly going to go the distance. So you guys know, you must know you're in for a hell of a battle between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be. We're in a relegation battle, so it's going to be twists and turns, ups and downs. It's not going to be plain sailing. We know that. So we're in a mini league, if you like. And if we win more games than the others now, between now and the next seven, then we stay in the league, and that's our main aim. So we've got to just take care of ourselves and try and get as many points as we can and not worry about the others. We keep winning and grinding out results, then we'll be happy with that.
And how are you finding, I mean, obviously we've only played one Saturday to Saturday so far, but it's going to be quite intense going into it. I mean, I know you're a very fit player. But I imagine there'll be a lot of sort of chopping and changing and squad rotation now as we go into this crazy last few weeks.
Yeah, I think so, because like I said, everyone's come back fit, wanting to play. We've got a good squad, and we've got players that are probably unlucky not to start. So you've got to use your squad, especially when there's games coming up Tuesday, Friday, Saturday. It's a lot of games. And yeah, like I said, with the boys that have come on, they've come on and helped us. So it's not as if they're making us any weaker. The boys are waiting. There's even boys who are not in the squad today. Lapo, Ozzy, Jake, and Smudger, who's coming back from a little knock. So they've got players that can come in, and whoever the manager wants to pick can put out a good side. So we're all in it together. Whoever plays, we want them to do well and win and carry on the positivity around the place.
Yeah, and just finally from me then, you mentioned how obviously the whole team are in it together. There is still a lot of uncertainty around the club in terms of, I mean, hopefully what division we'll be playing in next year, but also obviously the ownership situation, and there's a lot of players who will be going out of contract. So I guess to try and keep that unity is going to be important for Libya, because there are a lot of people who quite simply won't know if they're going to be here next year, I guess.
Yeah, but you're fighting for your future. So whether you're going to be here or not, you want to play as well as you can. So if you're not going to be here, other clubs are looking at you, and you can prove that you can play in the Championship. That's the way football is. So you're always in the shop window. Like you said, we want to stay in the league. We worked our socks off last year to get into this league, and we want to stay in it, because it's not easy to get into it. If you go down, it's not as if we can bounce straight back up. That won't be the case. We're in and out at the moment. We give ourselves a good couple of wins to try and stay in the league, and hopefully we can carry that on.
Swing this ball in again, looking for, towards the far post. Sol with the header. Sol!
Come on!
Matty Sol! At the back post. And Charlton have their second. Just a little thin corner to the back post. Bruce totally misjudged it. And Naby Sarr had an open goal.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Good to hear there from Darren Prattley. Still got it, hasn't he, Mark, even at 35? You could hear in the interview, I was trying to think of any other word other than fit to describe him, because I meant like athletic and, you know, he's got a good engine on him, but there's no way I can sound fit without sounding like I'm coming on to him. But I did say, Darren, you're very fit. And he does prove that with his performances.
Well, I hope the two of you are going to be very happy together. he's got an incredible engine, and he's more mobile than I think people actually give him credit for. And, you know, he's quite good at snaking out a leg, and he gets the ball 9 out of 10 times, an ankle in the last time. You know, gets up, walks away from it, you know, occasionally gets the odd card. But no, he's been, I think he's proved
a lot of people wrong, because I think a lot of people were not Prattley fans. They couldn't see what he offered. And I think he's really been one of those players. The more he's come in, the more we've gone, you know what, we're a way better side with him in it. And we missed him when he was out after his suspension for collecting so many cards. And no, he's a joy to have in that building. I mean, it's good for Bowyer because he's obviously someone he trusts, you know. And I think the easy thing to be, yes, I mean, Terry on the commentary said he was surprised that Prattley hadn't gone off on one of the subs because they thought, you know, after the tackle, he's going to be hooked here. But Bowyer obviously said, you know, I trust him. We've got the moment. Don't do anything stupid. Get the message out to him and say, look, you just sit there and do what you've been doing, just think about it a bit more, you know, and we end up with 11 on the pitch, because I think he would be a miss. Okay, you've got Field, you can come in, but probably not, you know, can't do 90 minutes at the moment. But he's one of those players, alongside Cullen, and I agree, with you wonder what West Ham don't see in him, because I'm thinking, I've watched West Ham's games since they've come back, and he would actually shine in that midfield. And you think, I just don't get it. You know, this fascination with having some Colombian under-23 international play for you, where you've got a diamond like Josh Cullen, you know, and it's strange. And I think he's benefited playing alongside Prattley, because, you know, they obviously work well together. And you see, I don't know what the stats are for the games when we've had those two in the midfield, but I should imagine we've probably got many more wins when we've had them two than we haven't had them. So.
Yeah, I imagine so. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that came in after yesterday's win. Man in Pants says, three noteworthy P's of the week, pandemic, protest and Prattley. Yeah, Prattley definitely my favourite out of those three, I think. Cassidy, another solid performance, well organised at the back and looked a threat going forward. I feel like Hemed will finally get that elusive first goal soon. As I said before, Dylan could be the difference, and point proved after he made another vital save to hand us the win. Well, we heard there from Darren Prattley, Lewis. I mean, Pratt said that he thinks that Dylan is the best goalkeeper in the Championship. I mean, Do you think he's got a point there? I certainly rate Dylan very highly.
100%. Yeah, I remember earlier on, just before the lockdown, I had to do a team of the season for the West Brom journalists, and I picked Dylan Phillips for my goalkeeper, because I can't name a better shot stopper in the division. We all know that maybe some of his kicking is not always there, but it's improving 100%. And I think that In terms of shot stopping and some of the saves he's made and the step up he's made after the knockbacks he's had from sort of being given the number one jersey and then having keepers brought in over the top of him, you know, Jed Steer last season, Amos the season before, and when Maxwell came in, he held his own and he kept that place and he made the number one jersey his own. And ever since then, he's probably the first name on the team sheet week after week, because he's passionate as well, you know. He cares massively about the football club. He's been here a long time. He's come through our academy and performed, and it's so good to see him finally getting the opportunities. And I think Andy Marshall has done an incredible job with Dylan Phillips in maturing him as a goalkeeper. And I would 100% agree with Darren Prattley. I think that I would struggle to name a keeper in our division that I would pick in our side over Dylan Phillips, 100%.
Lovely stuff. Right, Dara says, Tom Ahmed worked his balls off yesterday. What a player. Last thing we need there, another injury. Rusty says, fantastic 3 points. Forget the monstrosity off the pitch. These lads want to play for the shirt. They're a fine example to many youngsters on not giving up. Two massive wins, fans or no fans, we deserve to stay up. Bowyer, JJ, with all the rubbish they've had to deal with, deserve medals. Johnny Jackson ran past my house, actually, earlier. That was really weird. I was just looking out the window and there was Johnny Jackson doing his... Well, I don't know if it's still his marathon training, but he was certainly jogging and, went past my house, which was nice. Vital Charlton says, another hard-working performance. Exactly what us Charlton fans love to see. We just need to start taking chances more. Phillips saved us from paying the price a couple of times. But well done to the lads for holding on. Dan says, great to see the lads really pull together, playing for each other as a team. Wish we could have been a bit more clinical up top, as our next two games are going to be tough and we need to take our chances. Nevertheless, it's 3 points in the bag. Josh Williams says, a big performance from the boys yesterday. Defended well, didn't give QPR too many opportunities. Standout performers are Cullen, Prattley as usual, but Matthews is an unsung hero. Very strong game again from him yesterday. And then we've got a question here from Dom, so I'll bring Terry back in. Dom, who is better in your in you guys' view? So I guess this would be a pertinent question to ask you as well, because you're old enough to have seen them both. So prime Pele back in the day or current Darren Prattley? Because obviously I never really saw Pele back in the day, so I'm assuming that Prattley's better, but I never actually saw Pele to make that assumption fact. Who do you think?
I think if you were to put Pele, I'm assuming we're talking about the Brazilian Pele, Pele in the Charlton side, I think he'd struggle. So I think Darren Prattley in a Charlton team is clearly better than Pele. Prattley in the Brazilian side, maybe not so much.
I guess Pele never had any trouble staying up, though, didn't he? So I guess that's one.
I would say Darren Prattley is miles fitter than Pele.
Yeah, well, that's, as I told him to his face yesterday. Excellent stuff. Right, before we start to look ahead then to the Cardiff game, and Terry, while we've got you here, I thought we ought to speak about Theo Foley, former player and manager at the Valley, who sadly passed away this week. And part of the minutes of applause we had before the game yesterday, that was of course for Sebo as well, and for everyone else lost during the pandemic, was for Theo. You know, it still hung around over the course of the last few years. He'd been in and around the club, and a very popular figure, Terry.
Yeah, and for good reason as well. I mean, it's strange. I remember there being I'm pretty sure it might have been on the Charlton Life Forum, but there was a thing about Charlton's worst managers or Charlton's best managers as well. And a lot of people, it was quite strange. Theo appeared quite a lot in both lists. Theo was somebody I really thought was quality, but maybe not so much as a manager. He came in as assistant to Eddie Flamani in the late 60s, I think. Certainly he was there for the 69-70 season. And you know, we were struggling at that point, at the end of that decade. I think as assistant, we were third from bottom in the second division, so we just escaped relegation. And so the club got rid of Eddie Flamani and brought in Theo as a full-time manager. I'm pretty sure we did exactly the same thing for two seasons running, and then finally in 1971-72 we got relegated. So his first two or three seasons were nothing to write home about, you know, in that sort of 4-year period he had as a manager. They weren't, you know, we didn't exactly pull up trees. We got relegated to the third division, as was then, as you know, it's League One now, of course. But and so you could see probably from a number crunching point of view, and from purely, you know, where we finished up in the league, because even in the third division, we were mid table two seasons running. It didn't look great. But that final season, that 73-74 season, which pretty much was Theo's last. You know, he signed some players in that season that and possibly the back end of the season before, that most fans of a certain age, for sure, but even fans now would think, wow. And it paved the way for the team that then finally got promoted with Andy Nelson in 74, 75. So from back into the what was the Championship, Division 2. And I'll read a few names out, you know, and some might not, you know, fans might think, well, yeah, okay, they were Charlton players, but they didn't pull up trees. But, you know, there were players that we thought were good players at the time, you know, the likes of Dave Shipley, Arthur Horsfield, Ray Tunbridge, Eamon Dunphy, less so maybe Graham Tutt, Richie Bowman, Mark Penfold. But then you go to the final three that I'm going to mention, and I'm sure most fans will think, well, you know, wow, and these were down to Theo. And that's Colin Powell, Mike Flanagan and Derek Hales.
That's not, you know, bad hit list, is it?
He had an eye for a player, Theo, and I think maybe very similar to, you know, to quite a few coaches who can spot players. Not necessarily good managers, but the two things that stick with me with Theo, one is obviously his ability to spot a player and his coaching, but secondly, what a lovely bloke he was. And he was, and he would talk for ages about football, and I was lucky enough to talk to him on a few occasions. But the one that sticks out for me was when I sponsored a game back in, it's going back now probably, let me think, 15 years ago, so ago. It was just after we got relegated from the Premier League, and Dad had passed away, and so I sponsored the game against Blackpool that season. And Theo was, I had no idea why, by the way. Well, Theo was always around the ground, we knew that, but we were just going on, walking around the pitch as part of the pre-match tour, as it were. And Theo was down there, and he just asked us why we were here, because there was a decent number, so he was a bit curious as to why there were so many people on the pitch. So we happened to mention it, and we also happened to mention that my dad was from Ireland, from Cavan, and he just spent ages talking to my family, not just me, but the whole lot, and was so warm and just gave time for everybody. He was a lovely fella, and subsequently spoke to him at length. He was a home farm boy, and of course, home farm from Dublin has produced some real talent over the years. Mark Kinsella being the most notable for us, I guess. But it also, you know, it's also the birthplace of quite a few Ireland football legends. So he was good footballing stock, as well as being just a lovely man and fondly remembered.
Yeah, Theo Foley there will be sorely missed. Right, we'll have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we'll discuss who was there at the Valley yesterday and then look ahead to the trip to Cardiff.
Charlton can play on here as Kyle has the ball. Bond over to the left-hand side. Kyle finds him. And Bentley's coming out of his goal. And Bond's got past him. Bond with the chance.
Yeah!
Bond with the goal!
Oh, what a goal!
End-to-end stuff here at Ashton Gate. And the goalie, Bond, gets another goal. Bentley, for whatever reason, came out of his goal. Bond gets there first. And with a tidy left-footed finish. And end-to-end stuff, but Charlton have the lead.
Right, so welcome back to the last section of this week's Charlton Live podcast. We've looked back at the 1-0 win over QPR at the Valley yesterday. There were some faces spotted yesterday. Unusual that the directors and their guests were sitting sort of behind us in the West Upper because of the way the Valley was sort of split into distinct zones to stop people mixing with the players and risking passing on the virus. Anyone who was in the media zone, we were sat in our normal seats, but the director zone, because the players were using the lounges as a dressing room, they were up behind us in the upper west, and we couldn't mix with them, but they were near us. So anyway, saw, of course, Paul Elliott, the new owner, coming in alongside Chris Farnell, who does, I mean, everyone tweeted me when I put a picture up, he does look a lot like Alan Partridge, which was entertaining. But a new face turned up yesterday, Mohamed El Kashashi. Was spotted. So we saw him there, and after some Google image searching, we decided, yeah, that's definitely him. So we don't know too much about him, Mark. He was linked. It was reported by Sports Mail, I think, that he played a key role in advising Paul Elliott on his acquisition of the club after it became apparent that a disgruntled Nimmer had Tanu Nimmer had little desire to put any more money into the club. So, you know, another sort of unknown quantity arrives at the Valley and all of a sudden tongues are wagging again. You never know what to make with all these people. And when all these randoms turn up, everyone is always very suspicious, I guess, is probably a fair way of putting it.
Yeah, I think we're a lot more cautious now. I mean, We've had our fingers, arms, elbows and shoulders burnt in the last, you know, however long it's been. It just seems like decades. So when another face turns up and you're just like, really, it's hard to know, you know, where to go with any kind of question, because it's... Nothing, like I said to you a couple of weeks ago, I don't think anything's going to happen until we find out what division we're in next season. I think that's a waiting game being played. I think if we're in the Championship, I think it'll happen very quickly. Someone will come forward and say, yeah, this is who I am. This is the money I can be put in. I think if we do end up going down, I think people will disappear. The EFL will hammer us with probably a minus 20 points deduction to start next season, and it's all on a merry-go-round again. It's hard. I mean, it's funny because during a week when, you know, they put out this thing saying that don't come to the ground, you know, I know one or two individuals decided they were going to go down and stick their faces around. It doesn't achieve anything. You know, I don't know how I would feel if someone, a complete stranger, came up and just started swearing at me in an aggressive manner. I think fists could be thrown, but, you know, it doesn't help anything. It's always a, you know, demand answers. There's no one here, you know, there's not a supporter who can demand answers. We'd like answers, but, you know, I think it's a waiting game. Wait to see what division we're in, and then it'll come out then. I don't think there's anything to be gained by guessing at the moment, to be quite honest.
Like I say, there's a lot of suspicion about it. I mean, Mark's brought it up there, Lewis. Obviously, we saw a fan did go and try and speak to Chris Farnell and to Paul Elliott after the game. And I know it got a mixed reaction, I guess, is probably the fair way to put it. But, I mean, if anything, it sums up the frustration that's out there at the moment. People want answers, and this fan took it into his own hands. You know, there are obviously the Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust have their way of doing things. They're not going to go and do stuff the way that Dodger did. But Dodger had his own way of doing it. And I think, you know, I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with the way he did it, but he certainly summed up the frustrations that a lot of Charlton fans are feeling at the moment.
Yeah, he did. I mean, obviously, with us, we've had the pain of the De Châtelet years. We had the false hope of ESI under Tanoon and Matt. When they came in, there was a lot of optimism, and, you know, we were left with egg on our faces within weeks, really. You know, that we had the initial interest in November, we got excited, it went through in January, then there was the January window where nothing happened, and then a couple of months later, you, me and Tom are outside the Valley scene, the Southall drama, and now this next stage where, you know, I don't really know anything about Paul Elliott. It makes me feel uneasy in regards with Chris Farnell and the links with Bury and various other troubled clubs, should I say? And then obviously the guy yesterday, the Egyptian fella. I don't know him. I have no idea who he is. And it's just, you see these people coming and going, and you think, what are you here for? What is your end game with this football club? Because Charlton Athletic as a club in general has had its challenges with, you know, we've had the Selhurst era, the you know, losing the Valley, getting back to the Valley, the relegation from the Premier League, and the Rowland years, and our fans have been through so much. And all you ask is that someone comes in that cares for this football club and wants to take it forward properly and give it the attention it deserves. Is it going to be under this regime? I don't feel convinced at the moment, but who am I to judge? Because I don't know enough about Paul Elliott. And I think that what Dodger did yesterday, I mean, he's been a Charlton fan for a long time, so he's lived through various frustrations, and this is just another one to add to a long list, and he's probably just had enough. Do I agree with how he handled it? No, I don't think you're going to get anything out of them by approaching them sort of swearing and maybe in a slightly aggressive manner, but he just felt that he had to do something to get some answers. I don't think he got a huge amount out of them, but maybe they know now just how frustrated supporters are, and it might be a bit of a wake-up call for them to see that they can't mess us about. But who knows, we've been here before. You know, Roland's had stuff lobbed on the pitch for 3 years, and it took him a long time to take the message in and set up, so we've just got to see what happens. The most important thing at the moment, and our main focus is backing the boys on the pitch from home and doing what we can to support Boya and also get through the end of this season and keep ourselves in the Championship. Because the most important thing is that we maintain Championship status, because regardless of whoever our owner is going to be going forward, a drop into League One will harm any chances of any potential buyers coming in if this ESI this new ESI fronted deal isn't what we want, then we want it to be an attractive club for someone to come in and take over, and it's going to be a lot more attractive in the Championship than it is going to be in League One.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's start to look ahead then to the game with Cardiff on Tuesday evening. One side who doesn't want to be in the Championship next year against one side, obviously, who does in ourselves. Cardiff sitting inside the playoff positions. They've won both of their games since returning from lockdown, including a big one yesterday up at Preston North End, a 3-1 win. And, of course, they beat Leeds last time out at the Cardiff City Stadium. So, I mean, it's going to be a tough one. Neil Harris, of course, the manager as well. Tell, I'm assuming you're going down, Tell, and it's not going to be an easy evening's work.
Yeah, I'll be there, and no, certainly won't. The only thing we can hope is that they may take their foot off the gas a little bit, because they've certainly come back from the lockdown period on fire, that's for sure. You mentioned the results, and I think the Preston one less surprising, but certainly the Leeds one was a shock to the system. And look, if we can apply the same passion and the same control defensively, certainly that we've done up to now, then we've got a shout at getting something out of the game. I'd be absolutely delighted with the point, if I'm honest. But you know, if we can get more than that, why not? And I don't think they'll enjoy playing us at all. And you know, Preston arguably probably didn't have a great deal to play for. Leeds may have gone there thinking that all they had to do was turn up and win. So maybe they caught two teams on the hop a little bit. I don't think they'll do that with us. I think Lee Bowie will have the team fired up, as he has done the first two games. I think the big thing for us is what side Lee puts out, and whether or not he risks putting the same team out again, three in a row, fairly quick succession, bearing in mind what's to come, and maybe there's a few tired limbs out there. We saw Deji, and we'd already mentioned Thomas Hemed. Can they go another 90 minutes? I don't know. It's possible. I mean, I think all players would prefer to play rather than train. So it might just be a game they can handle. We don't know, of course, with Jason Pearce, whether or not his good lady's going to give birth, so whether he'll be there or not. Hopefully, yes, and we can put in the same performances that we've done so far. But it will be a tough one, no question about it.
Excellent stuff. Well, I'll be tuning in on Valley Pass, because I'm not going to be there due to various reasons. So it's just because of the new world. I can't get there. Basically, I can't drive there, because Amy's got the car, so I'm going to be watching on Valley Pass. So give me a shout out during the game, please, Tell. And
Brilliant, mate.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Right, I think that's enough for this week's Charlton Live. Thank you to Terry, to Mark, and to Lewis for joining me on the phone.
Cheers, Lewis, mate.
Cheers, guys. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. So I'll be cheering on the boys from home on Tuesday with you guys. Then either on Wednesday or Thursday, we'll do and it's sort of an in-between pod between the looking back at the Cardiff game and ahead to Friday's home tie with Millwall. We look forward to speaking to you guys again then. But thanks for listening to this week's show, and we shall see you in the next midweek.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.